item of business that we're dealing with today are years of service awards for recycling staff. The region of Queens municipality is made up of many departments located in different areas, and events like this are a nice opportunity for us to get together as a group and recognize those who are responsible for many of the activities of the municipality. Among the operations of the region of Queens are the administrative building, Hillview Acres Home for Special Care, Works Department, Grounds Crew, Landfill, Materials Recovery Facility, Queens Place, and Mirror Center. Today, we are recognizing 5 Region of Queens staff, representing a cumulative total of 75 years of employment and public service. Those here today represent 5 years to 25 years of service. We are recognizing first Julie Oikle, Casual Residential Care Assistant with Hillsview Acres, and I would ask Julie if you'd please come forward to the presentation. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to present this to you today, Julie, and if you'd like to stand over here, if you wouldn't mind. Mm-hmm. 5 year service award certificate. Congratulations. 10 years. 10 years, we have Adam Grant, Assistant Director of Engineering and Works, who's unable to be here today. 15 years, we have Roma Wynot, Heavy Equipment Operator, Works Department, who's also unable to be here today. 20 years, we have Mike McLeod, Planner, and I'd ask Mike if he'd like to come forward. Our utility clerk in the administrative building, Alan. Wanda, would you please like to come forward? I want you to hold that. Congratulations. It's a pleasure to work with all of you. The knowledge, experience, and strong commitment you have to serving the public, along with pride you show in representing the region of Queens municipality, is very evident. On behalf of council and the residents of the community, I thank you for your hard work. And I would ask if all of the award recipients would like to come forward and have a group picture this morning. Okay, so we'll move on now to 2.0, changes, approval of agenda. We have no changes to the agenda this morning. Any changes to the agenda?
We've had a couple litter abatement groups of meetings. I'd just like to, if I could do a report on that today.
Would you like to do that under other 15.0? 15.2.
Okay, sure.
A motion to approve the agenda as amended would be in order. Moved by Councilor Fisk, seconded by Councilor Johnson. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Aye.
All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous, thank you. Under presentations 3.0, we have under 3.1, our CMP report, September and October 2017. Staff Sergeant Smith, if you'd like to come forward.
Morning, Your Worship, Council. Best of the season to everyone. You got the reports for September and October. One thing that I guess would come under November's, but I'm just excited to be able to announce it today, is that, and I know I discussed this with you previously, Your Worship, is that we do have our new senior safety coordinator on the ground and running right now. It's Carol Hipwell, and we finally got through all the background and security checks and whatnot. And she's been on the ground since, I believe, Remembrance Day. She attended the Remembrance Day services in Greenfield on that date. And so Rob James is her de facto supervisor and has been taking her around and getting her introduced to everybody that needs to be introduced. And I know she's already had some referrals to start with. And so when I draft the November report, I'll actually have some of her input for November in the report for November. But I did want to bring that to everyone's attention. And the other thing that I'll bring just as a matter of personnel issues is that Nicole Smith, who is one of our public servants, she has transferred to Lunenburg County, to the Chester office in Lunenburg County, and which created a vacancy. I stole from Shelburne Detachment a lady by the name of Lydia Guduk, and so she'll be starting on Monday with us and come very highly recommended. And so I was able to, I think I was pretty fortunate to steal her from underneath Sergeant O'Callaghan at Shelburne, and I think the region of Queens will be very pleased with our selection there. And just on the whole staffing issue, staffing for regular members is not like a hockey team. We don't get two players sometimes for one, we don't get two lesser players for one all-star. We just get the one player. So sometimes when there's vacancies, of which we don't have any right now, but they may drag on a little bit as I work to make sure that I get the best star player I can get. In the past, in other units, I have turned down people which have left vacancies for a little bit longer, but I think ultimately it's always been to the benefit of the municipality and to our offices wherever I've been. But sometimes it does, like I say, when I have a choice, and sometimes I do, if I'm not happy with the choice or I think we can do better, then that's what I try to do. So, but anyway, so that's, but we are in the transfer season. Our staffing people will soon be probably talking to some members in Queens to get things ready for the 1st of April, which is typically what day we start all our transfers when the new budgets come in and whatnot. So,
I ask a question before you move on from senior safety?
Yeah.
Could you tell me what, because it's part-time, can you tell me what hours, is it a set hours or whenever?
She's working 2 days a week, but now because it was late to get her, Carol, all started there, I know the region had authorized a grant of $10,000 this year, and so we're going to try to chew that up as best we can. I think that was based on her working 2 days a week, so she'll probably be working a little bit more than 2 days a week, but Mondays we Mondays is generally a day, but she'll make her schedule to meet the needs of what's required.
Okay, so it's not set 2 days a week or 4 half-days a week, but
no.
This time she's working more, because obviously it was supposed to start in September as well, so we've got 2 months that she could be working extra as well, because that's a set year, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to, that's my hope. So, and the work is absolutely there. It's it's been a gap in our, you know, I say our service. It's not really our service, although we certainly use the senior safety coordinator to our extreme benefit. But I mean, she does offer a wide range of services that I think is a great benefit to the region of Queens. And you know, that's my comment.
Just a clarification, the province upped their funding from 20 to 25 for this coming year,
yeah.
And the municipality in the budget was 47.5,
yeah.
Is that correct? Not the 10,000,
okay.
47.5,
yeah.
Just to correct that.
I guess all I'm trying to get to is that we do want to use that. I'm pleased to see the province upped it. I wish they'd up it more, to be blunt. And I would tell anybody, including their local MLA, who I realize has a bit of conflict of interest maybe in that, but maybe doesn't have it now, but I do believe that she'll be fighting hard for further funding, so.
And if I may add to that, there was a period of time in 2017 when we did not have a senior safety coordinator, so that funding would extend the service and allow more service between now and the end of the year. Would that be correct?
Correct. That's the point I guess I was trying to get to. Maybe I didn't say it as succinctly as you, Your Worship.
I just want to add also that the Department of Seniors are also taking this initiative very seriously now that they understand how important the program is. So there may be some news coming from that department as well.
Excellent. You know, and I mean, I think you've all heard me say this before, and I'm not... we're going to need more, as our population in Nova Scotia ages, we're going to need more senior safety coordinators, not less. That's not a job that's going to work itself out of existence, I don't anticipate. But, I mean, it would be nice if it could, but I don't anticipate that happening. So, so anyway, on to our other reports that I've filed with you. We're working hard on a couple of things, some which are maybe a bit premature to discuss right now, but they're consuming quite a bit of our time, and I just don't want to, but there is some stuff going on in the background that's just we're not ready to talk about right yet, publicly. The one thing that I am pleased to see is that it is, and I know I reported it, was that our two people that we charged with trying to break into our detachment back a few months ago. One of them is actually due to be released from jail tomorrow, maybe today. What had happened is after he was charged, we subsequently found him in breach of his release conditions. He was arrested on that, and he decided that it would be better be serving his sentence, or a sentence, versus sitting in jail on a remand situation. So he pled guilty. He pled guilty, I think, to obstruction of police and uttering threats. He didn't plead guilty to the break and enter charge, which was fine. And so he received 3 months in jail for that. And the second individual, we arrested him for breaching his conditions, and he has subsequently pled guilty to charges, and he's sitting in jail right now till he's sentenced in January, middle of January. So those are two, but it just goes to illustrate the benefit or the advantage of keeping close tabs on those that are on conditions. As I said, sometimes there's an advantage to being serving a sentence versus being on remand to the offender. They get more privileges and whatnot when you're serving a sentence. So sometimes it does encourage a quicker resolution to the matters when they're there. I mean, there are very strict rules, and we just can't get everybody remanded. That ship sailed a long, long time ago, but we're pleased to see that that is gonna be, has resolved itself, for lack of better terms. I wouldn't be surprised, I can't speak for a judge, but I would say that the second fellow that's waiting to be sentenced in January probably won't receive a whole lot more after, because he's been in, have been in jail for about 7 or 8 weeks of straight time, so he might get a little bit more, but I wouldn't be surprised to see that, you know, that it won't, that, you know, that it'll get resolved. As far as the jail component of it, he may end up on some other terms of probation or whatnot. But I wouldn't be surprised, but it would be, I can't speak for a judge as to what they will or won't do in that regard. We had a good Halloween this year, with no incidents. We were in Caledonia for the Caledonia Days in September. That went well. I went up myself and worked Friday night. I thought that it was a good opportunity to be up in the community myself, and also get to meet some people and to get some firsthand exposure to the event. Last year I was off for that period, so I wanted to, I try to get out to all the events, the bigger events in the communities, and so anyway, I don't know if, I think that's it, unless there's questions arising that I have to offer to take up your time today.
Any questions or comments of councillors? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
I just want to say a huge thank you to the two folks of your detachment that spent time with us Friday when we did the little litter abatement, stopping vehicles, passing out little bags in their cars, and educating them, and hoping that if they see any offenses that they certainly know that they can report in the littering aspect. And that was Constable Rob James and Constable Dave Cowan. So I want to pass on, and Councillor Fancy's going to give another report on the reports, but I just want to say thank you very much for those two.
Well, thank you. I do know that there's, you know, the significance of, you know, to members of this community of on the littering issues, and I know that we just provided some information to your bylaw officer on a situation up on the 210 highway, I believe it is, and hopefully that will result in somebody else on the wrong end of some enforcement action, it's an ongoing thing. I just wish there was a simple solution. Every time I listen to the news, you know, it's not unique to Queens County. It doesn't make it more acceptable in Queens County than anywhere else, I listen to it, and I know that there's things all across various municipalities trying to address it.
We had one other meeting that we had here, council meeting, and I brought up the topic about the signage, that we certainly could have increased signage in that aspect of it, which are fines. And did you, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you say there might be some funds that you might have access to that we might be able to get a few signs?
I don't personally. It's under what's called the Mounted Police Federation, which I think I sent that to. But I also gave it to Constable James, who's on your committee.
Yeah.
And just for clarity, because I it's. The Mounted Police Federation, it's a group of volunteers that will donate to money to events primarily directed at youth. So as I, you know, explained to Rob, if there can be a youth component in it, and at first I thought that it would be better to come from a committee, you know, like a citizens committee versus the region.
Absolutely.
And secondly, I don't know if it can be framed in a manner that would include youth. And I think if you can get some sort of a youth component in it, I think it would probably be a lot more successful. I've never had personal experience with it, but I just know that that's.
We could do it through the Key Club, because they do the highway cleanup.
So, anyway, so like say, I did provide a link for the website or whatever, and so hopefully that there would be some money there. But I personally don't have it in my budget. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
but there's two ways to skin a cat.
Staff Sergeant Smith, your captain deserves a lot of credit for one thing. In the past couple of years, that you did charge a couple of people for littering the highway, and I'll give you praise for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other counselor today? Thank you, Staff Sergeant Smith.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Your Worship.
We will move to 4.0, tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to table today? Second call for petitions. The third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. Under 5.0, public question comment session. If there's any member of the gallery who would like to speak this morning, please state your name, address, and limit your comments, questions to 5 minutes, please. Region of Queens has completed all of its paperwork that's required under that transaction. I'm expecting very shortly, and I'll check my watch through the day, I'm expecting very shortly that that will be completed and we'll be able to do it next.
The check is in the mail. I wish it was sure.
There has been an ongoing discussion at various meetings regarding that issue. At this point, I'm not aware of any resolution to any of the inquiries regarding where the funding will actually end up. The media covers most of those issues, and you can read those the same as I do for the additional information, but it's early in the process. It was identified that there would likely be some additional RCMP costing as a result of enforcement, and Ottawa is looking to contribute directly to that. We will follow it as it moves forward.
I understand the facility down at Fort Mercy is going to get fulfilled and should be coming on stream on time, is what you hear. And according to the press again, 60 new jobs will be created in the Queens for that particular facility. And I understand that some of them will be physically jobs through the nature of the operation. So that's good. The other thing that's going to mention. I see you're going to have a rezoning, possibly approving that today for new housing, affordable housing for seniors down in the Hickory Farm Road area. And, you know, that's a good thing. It's too bad that it's going to be maybe just a bit closer to town because of the seniors who don't have transportation, so it might be a little difficult to get to the stores and things like that. So at least it's definitely the right direction. And also, the Curly's event. That was announced here on the weekend from the feds, the province, and the municipality that's in the enough as well as the community for the dual fundraising, is that correct?
As far as I'm aware.
Okay. Just one last thing, my 5 minutes is up, I'm sure. I just wanted to, as I understand, this will be the last council meeting before in Lincoln this year and before Christmas, is that correct?
The next meeting will be in early January.
Great. So at this point in time, I just like to take this opportunity to wish Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Leon, and same to you and your family.
Thank you.
Any other member of the public gallery would like to speak this morning?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Doug Fox, 121 Bob Road, Lake Point. I have a couple of items this morning if I have time. First of all, I would like to speak on 9.2, the chairman is here for a stop and go transportation link, and subsequently the airport was virtually closed down, so that didn't happen. And also there was some indication that that might be a place that could become a distribution site for some of our larger wholesalers that are looking for terminals in the area. And while this may seem small potatoes, I'm hoping that it may turn into something larger, and I congratulate the Flying Club on their initiative in that area. Second item I had was in regard to the item 13-2, the telecommunications tower in Greenfield, and I was a bit surprised to see that the tower will be only 180 feet from the nearest dwelling. I thought that our bylaw provided a larger separation from the tower to any residential properties in the area, and I realize this is only a recommendation to bring it forward to a public hearing, and I'll speak to it at that time, but I would be interested in that time if the planning department would like to make a note. I would like to know the radius of the service from that tower, and also why did it down to 180 feet. It's encouraging to see them purchase some land in the area as opposed to leasing, because it may improve the assessments on that property with some infrastructure on it and provide us with some taxation revenue. My third item is 12.3, the synchronized skating championship request. And from the public package, we don't have a proposed budget or an indication of costs. And my question would be, how we arrived at the figure of $6,000 as a grant towards that particular event. And most of the requests that come before council were in some sort of an indication as to how that was arrived at. And that isn't in our package. So have someone to speak to those items when that item comes out.
We'll see that we do that.
All right, thank you. And also, I would like to wish you, Mr. Mayor, and members of council and staff, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and look forward to seeing you in the new year.
Thank you, Bill, and same to you and your family.
Okay.
Any other member of the public gallery would like to speak this morning? Okay, thank you very much. We will move on to 6.0, approval of minutes. Under 6.1, we have the minutes for the regular council meeting of November 28, 2017. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes as circulated? Hearing none, a motion for approval of those minutes would be in order. Moved by Councilor Felix, seconded by Councilor Fancy. Any discussion? Ready for the motion? All those in favor of the motion? Councillor Johnson, I expect, deferred to vote due to not being here for that meeting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Please let the record show. Thank you very much. It's passed. 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises. We have nothing under that today. 8.0, economic development. We have nothing to bring forward under that today. 9.0, corporate services. Under 9.1, we have Hillsview Acres, job descriptions update. Councillor Fisk, would you like to take the lead on this?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the updated Hillsview Acres job descriptions.
Seconded by Councillor Fancy. CAO, would you like to give us a quick update on this?
It's basically routine. The job descriptions for the Hillsview Acres employees are reviewed on a regular basis. This is pertains to their licensing. A number of education requirements change throughout the years. So it's just a routine update to the job descriptions as the employees are working through them now.
Any questions or comments of counselors on this issue?
So what are the changes in these? You said that there's just, these are the same as last year except for the educational requirements for the job description?
Jamie updates them according to job procedures and the way the employees are working through their job descriptions throughout the years. So there's just updates according to the way some of the education pieces have changed. My guess is that most of the changes have just been in the education requirements. In 2003, they weren't required to be CCAs. They are now.
Okay, thank you.
Any other counselor? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? That is unanimous. Thank you. Under 9.2, we have South Shore Flying Club hangar and terminal leases. Councilor Johnson, would you like to take the lead on this?
Sure thing. I'd like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give approval for the Mayor and the CAO to sign the South Shore Flying Club hangar and terminal leases.
Second for that motion, Councilor Fitch.
So we have reviewed these lease agreements prior to this meeting. The difference in the expiration date is to have it correspond with the current airport lease agreement that we have with Flying Club. So they will expire at the same time. So this is an add-on to the Flying Club already having a lease of the airport facility as it stands. The terminal building has always been there and they like to use it as an office space. So we've added that in with that separate agreement, and they intend to build hangars at the site. So upon completion of the first hangar and the occupancy permit thereof, the monthly lease payments will begin at that point for the hangar lease. And we're really pleased to see all the activity now at the port.
Any questions or comments of councilors on this issue? We're ready for the question. All those in favor of the motion? That is unanimous. Thank you very much. And thank you, members of the Flying Club, that are in attendance today. Under 10.0, Engineering and Works, we have 10.1, 2018 4x4, 3/4-ton pickup trucks. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take the lead on 10.1?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve purchase of two 2018 4x4 3/4-ton pickup trucks from South Shore Chevrolet at a price of $79,992 plus HST.
Seconded for that motion? Councilor Fisk. CAO, would you like some update on this one?
So these are replacement vehicles. We do tend to use them past our, I know the useful lifespan of our vehicles is set to be around 12 years. We do tend to actually get more than 10 or 12 years from our vehicles. So these are just simply replacements, and we got a good price local this time around, so we were pleased with that.
Any questions or comments of councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Are the other vehicles a trade-in, or what's done with the current one?
Yeah, one is. The others are basically they're kind of scrapped by the time
okay.
We're finished with them. So we will sell them for scrap metal and apply that back to our accumulated investment capital.
Both of them.
Mr. Fancy?
I always have to ask the question. The difference between the 4x4 and just a regular vehicle means it must be that they're needed in the field.
Yes, these are work trucks. They are have off-road capability because they're used around the landfill facility, which you know is off-road property, and these are both able to have plowing capabilities as well.
Okay.
So we can use them in the fleet when we're doing our snow clearing in the winter.
Okay.
Any other councilor have a question or comment today? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We have nothing today under 11.0 finance. Under 12.0 recreation and community facilities, we have 12.1 travel assistance funding, early cadet trial. Megan Roberts is coming forward to the presentation desk. And we'll ask Councilor Fancy if you'd like to take the lead on 12.1.
I shall recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approved travel assistant funding of $250 to Lily Gaudette Wild to participate as part of the Western Riptide Pee Wee A girls team in this year's Bell Capital Cup hockey tournament in the special Canada 150 division on Parliament Hill. This is to be funded from the Community Grants and Program budget line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department.
Second by Councillor Carroll. Megan, would you like to update us on this?
Sure. So we had a request from Lily through her mother, obviously, because she's a minor. But so Lily's team, the Western Riptide Pee Wee A girls team, they entered a contest, which was the Canada 150 ranked hockey on the hill. And it was a contest across Canada, and they were picking two teams from each province and territory to participate in the special Canada 150 portion of that event. It happens every year, but they added this to allow for teams of youth to come and participate as well. So they entered and they were selected. They had an essay, which I have attached, I believe, to your agenda, and a video that they created, and they were chosen, and so over Christmas they're going to go to Ottawa and participate, so they're really excited. And just as a note, I had updated information just this past week from Lily's mom, and Chester Municipality and MODL have both contributed to this as well. That will be split among the team. We are funding Lily particularly, so the other children can use the money that was given from the other municipalities.
Councillor Johnson?
Is this the only gal from Queens that's
yes,
on that team?
Yes, it is, yeah. Yeah. She's very excited. Yeah.
Any other councillor? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Thank you. 12.2, Tournament Special Event Assistant Grant. Councillor Kelly, would you like to take the lead on 12.2?
Yes, I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a Tournament Special Event Assistant Grant in the amount of $500 to the Liverpool Curling Club to host the Under 15 Greens Field to be funded from the Community Grants and Programs budget line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department.
Councillor Fancy. Megan, would you like to update us on
this? Sure. So they also hosted this tournament the past year. So clubs give applications basically to come bring these tournaments to our community, and they were awarded the tournament again. Last year it saw 29 teams, so it's obviously dependent on how many people register for the tournament, but it will be around the same number. So it's about 100 youth that participate in the event, plus their families, friends, and whatnot, so they're all in the community. So they're excited to be hosting this again, and this money we would give them would be for their operational costs above and beyond a normal day when they're hosting the tournament.
Comments or questions of councillors? Councillor Johnson?
Well, just the operating costs, you know, from what we got here for a budget.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it here, but that's just basically everyday operating costs, is it not? The heat's going to be on at the curling club and the water, maybe not the lights.
Yeah, so these would be, and we actually funded, this was the same, we funded last year as well.
Yeah.
So these would be above and beyond a normal day, because you have more heat on because there's people in the club. They have their equipment going in on the ice shed in order to prepare the ice. They have extra water usage, obviously, for the bathrooms and whatnot. So, yeah.
Okay. Any other councillor have a question or comment on this item? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. 12.3, 2018 Atlantic Cycling Ice Skating Championship for the press. Councillor Muse, would you like to take the lead on 12.3?
It's recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approved $6,000 grant to be paid from prior year's operating surplus to assist with the 2018 Atlantic Synchronized Skating Championships.
Seconder for that motion? Deputy Mayor McLeod? Megan, would you like to update? Okay, CAO.
So we all saw the presentation that Robinson brought to us, our committee of the whole. And I think we all agreed it looked like it was going to be very much an economic boost for the community. They didn't ask for a specific number in their request for funding and financial support. Council has been provided with the budget, and it does show a deficit of about $12,000. The $6,000 recommendation I have is strictly for council's consideration at this time. I honestly just put the number on there because it was a number we have seen frequently in the last little bit, where we had given the $6,000 towards the Aquatic Society and their consultation report regarding the pool operations, and we had given a grant of $6,000 for Rails to Trails for the bridge assessment. So I used the $6,000 number strictly on those funds. Again, the amount is for council's consideration.
The CAO, the expenditure for that event, which I'm assuming is an Atlantic Canada event, if you have the figure of that total expenditure, that project.
$24,000. There will be some State Canada contribution. Queens County Blades weren't able to contribute as much as I'm sure they had hoped to. So we're hoping to subsidize with the $6,000, and they will be doing some fundraising and will receive some assistance from State Canada as well.
Any questions or comments of councilors on this issue? Councilor Fancy?
These ones are always the hard ones because you don't want to set precedence of large amounts of money going out from somebody's having a group and things going on. I mean, this is fantastic what's coming, but again, if you don't support it, then it's not coming back. So where do you draw the line? There was no numbers that they would have. I wish they would have asked for a number and made a request. But
yeah,
I hate to put out numbers.
They had said that they expected, or the anticipated economic drive was around 450,000. It is an Atlantic event, so it incorporates the four Atlantic provinces in the participation. And then it's a weekend, so there's a couple of days in there. So we're hoping, of course, for spin-off with the motels and restaurants.
And the Councilor Kelly?
Again, when we contribute money to these events, I always ask about the process for follow-up afterwards, the final report. There is a process in place. We will get a final report, and does it include economic impact from the event organizers?
As best that that can be calculated, I would assume that they will try and use those economic models that the province provides online. Remember, it is a local group, but there is Atlantic affiliation, so, and as well as State Canada involvement. So I'm hoping that there will be some form of assessment based on that.
Do we have a formal process for them providing that information?
The Region of Queens does not.
We
will request them to come back to council
and give us an update.
Sure.
Okay. And about for all of the ones that we give out, or just for certain ones? We don't have a robust process for when we give out money, that we get a report back as to the benefit of the money and how it was spent and that sort of thing, so we understand that we are actually contributing to economic impact in our community.
We always have that caveat in there anytime we give money. For instance, if there is a line in the grassroots organizations applications where we can request at any time that there be a process where they come back and make a report to council. So absolutely, if council would like to make this motion with that piece in there, the letter that we send to them will specifically say that they shall come back to council, make the report on the tournament and how they expected the economic spin-off.
I have Councillor Johnson next.
Do we know where this event was held last year? And would there be a model to answer that question of Councillor Kelly from that particular jurisdiction?
Most of these groups or organizations reference the STEAM model. I don't know if they had specifically done that in their proposal or not. I'm trying to recall from their presentation where it was held. They did tell us in the presentation at Committee of the Whole where it was held last year. Did anybody else remember? No? I can find out for sure. I want to say Prairies, but Alberta or BC maybe? I'm just going from memory. I don't remember.
It's Atlantic Canada.
This is Atlantic Canada.
Oh, it's true.
further follow up, Councilor Johnson?
No, I just think that it's in January, the clock is ticking, but if we're gonna put something in place, looking at such requests going forward, this might be a good time to start building some kind of a procedure, just how we look at these requests and allocate funds towards.
The unfortunate part is many of these are unknowns until they appear and are worked out, so this in the last 2 weeks only started to unfold locally if that was a goal.
I think it still should be an expectation, you know, if we're gonna hand out money, just to see what the actual spinoff is.
Well, we'll definitely ask them to come back with a report, and I'm going to assume that the local organizers and local community group will be able to access the information that would be available from State Canada. Because State Canada will be a supporter, financial supporter of the event. So I would anticipate that they would have a similar requirement. So we'll definitely ask them to come back because they have an estimate of economic impact. So they're basing that estimate on something. One would expect that there would be an aspect to their assessment of the event upon completion that would let them know whether their estimate was close or not. So we'll definitely ask them to come back to council with the results of their event.
Councilor Fraley?
With the festival privateer days, we did a follow-up report, so you do have the capability. And everything was added. It was quite a detailed report from economic development to just do a follow-up. I don't think it ever was re-presented to council, but we do have the capability of doing it through economic development.
Even
and
if it was something with strictly
and they can make that as easy or as difficult as possible, depending on, you know, this is a great event, but it's also not a huge event. So it's still quite easy to use, as and it can be adjusted, as I said. So it's already in place. So it seems like that would be the route to go.
Perfect. We can probably just put Melissa in contact with that link.
I'm not sure how it works, but it's through economic development. That
Deputy
Mayor McLeod?
They chose Queens County, Liverpool specifically because of the successful past events that the Queens County Blade had hosted, which is really good to hear. And furthering this from the Atlantic, there's a Skate Canada Synchronized Skating Championships as well, which teams from this one may be advanced to that one.
Too.
So that's an opportunity down the road. So, you know, we give them a good, they give us a great report, and then we may qualify for those larger events, which is a real opportunity as well.
This is a benefit to everyone from having that information upon completion.
Sure. Yeah, due back here in 2022 in Nova Scotia, so they could also get it here in Queen's Place, depending in 2022, and it was Newfoundland last year. It rotates every 3 years between one and Atlantic provinces.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly.
You're welcome.
Any other councilor have a question or comment on this issue? Yes, Councilor Fancy?
I still feel uncomfortable for us offering how much money we should give when we see what they're about, you know, what they're needed. Because I know they are going to be down $12,000, as they showed from their report. And of course, everything's all rough, and trying to guess and see how much they're going to get for their tickets and the 50-50s and everything else. They're putting a guess in it. But when they, the only other thing I ever thought of was the skate park, where we end up giving money, you'd say, you know, without the total number asked. But I'd love to see the ask, because what are they expecting to gain from, or are they going to have to try to raise, and what the period of time they're going to raise. And so we're saying, okay, well, we're going to give you 6,000 toward it. I'd rather them say, well, we could raise so much, or we thought we could raise so much. We need 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 for the region.
So their ask was, anything that the region will contribute will be greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
State Canada will support them financially,
right,
and will not allow the Blades to run a deficit.
Right.
So they will be fundraising. The region will contribute, and the anticipation is that that difference will be picked up by Skate Canada, that they won't have to worry about whatever is not funded.
To speak to your question, Councilor Fancy, Queens County Blades has indicated that the $6,000 would be, in their mind, a very fair amount for the activity they're looking to put on.
Right. I still like to see the ask rather than the, they might have said
3, when it said 4, we said, well, we're giving 6.
Might have said 12.
And it might have said 12, exactly, but
the
at least
was 10,
that.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other counsel? Counselor Fisk?
I have to go along with Counselor Kelly and Counselor Fairley that the report coming back is very important to us, and I think going through the economic development would be okay and to make sure we see the figures.
Sure.
Any other comments of counselors or questions today? This one? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? It is unanimous. Planning. I would ask Mr. Pratt to come forward. This pertains to a rezoning request, Nickerson Pond Road. Councilor Fairley, would you like to take the lead on this one?
I so move that the Planning Advisory Committee recommend that the Council of the Regional Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to rezone PID numbers 702-47911 and 700-833-08 from the General Residential R2 to Multiple Unit Residential R3, and that a public hearing be held on January 8, 2018 from the Council Chambers of the Municipal Building, 249 White Point Road in Liverpool, Nova Scotia at 8:45 a.m.
And that's January the 9th, correct?
Yeah.
Seconder for that motion? Councilor Kelly? Mike, would you like to give us an update on this request?
Yeah, just a little bit of background. We've received application from the owners of the properties located at 119 Nickerson Pond Road to have the properties rezoned to the multiple unit residential R3s. To the multiple unit residential R3 zone. Presently, the properties are zoned as general residential R2 under the land use bylaw. It is proposed by the owners of the property that they wish to construct a multiple unit residential housing complex on the property consisting of 10 residential units. This multiple unit residential development is not currently permitted under the general residential R2 zone. So in order to enable this development to move forward, a rezoning to the R3 would be required. It is a policy of council to look at working with developers in meeting the housing needs in not only Liverpool but other areas of the region of Queens municipality. So this is in compliance with the, I guess, the policy of council. Now there are two properties that are subject to this request. They're two long narrow parcels upon which there's currently a dwelling located at 119 Nickerson Pond Road. In total, the two parcels are about 6.5 acres in area, so there's adequate space within that property to accommodate the proposed development. So it's essentially a row house type development, side by side residential units. Included in the package is some conceptual drawings of what the development would look like. So essentially it's looking at primarily it's affordable housing is what their target is, seniors as a preferred clientele. However, they're subject to the requirements of the affordable housing program. So.
Any questions or comments of counselors on this issue? Deputy Mayor McBride?
First of all, just a note of correction here. The PID numbers are correct in the motion, but in the background, 700-853-89 is not the right number to correspond. Just want to clarify that. That was the last four numbers of the assessment number, so just one.
What, yeah, sure.
Okay, just to I mean, it does not affect the motion, but just want to clarify that in case anybody questioned what the description was in the background.
Yes,
two numbers
no, you're correct, yes, yeah.
Secondly, I, and whether this qualifies, well, it's actually, it's in the motion, is I firmly believe for the public's interest and the fact that we meet so early hours in the morning, and we had such a successful evening public hearing for Caledonia, I'm requesting that possibly that we have an evening session on that Tuesday rather than a morning session to deal with this public hearing so that people that can make those meetings, who, even though they can qualify to send something written or an email or a letter, I feel that there would like to be some kind of a better opportunity for the public to come to our open public hearings.
So are you asking that the public hearing be held in the meeting or the council meeting be held in the evening on that date?
No, I'm suggesting just the public hearing.
So the public hearing would be held on that date. That would mean that the decision from that public hearing would go to the next council meeting.
Okay, then could we have a special council meeting in the evening with this? We can make that decision. I feel fairly that, you know, I think the general public have every right to be able to come to our meetings. And, you know, in the past we've had very few that show up at public hearings. And I think the education of that is helpful to the public as well. And it gives everybody an equal opportunity to voice their intervention.
And I can agree that there are times when the public attends and when they don't attend, and of course I expect it's mostly depending upon the item being discussed.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suggest to you that if you would like to amend the timing of this meeting, you would do it through an amendment to the motion.
Can I make that amendment?
You certainly are within your rights to do that.
I make an amendment to the motion. The motion, the first paragraph stands as is, and the second should read, and that a public hearing be held on January the 9th, 2018, in the council chambers at the municipal building 249 White Point Road in Liverpool, Nova Scotia, at 7 p.m.
Is there a second to that amendment? Councillor Johnson. Discussion on the amendment? Councillor Fisk.
Is that prolonged? We're going in the evening?
Yes, and that amendment, it does not include amending a change of the council meeting or a special meeting.
You don't need that in the motion, though.
We won't have a special council meeting that night unless you have an amendment to include such.
Okay, well, can I add that to the same amendment?
You can make an amendment to your amendment.
Amendment to my amendment. All right, I'll do that.
May I just interject before you do that as well? Sorry, I missed that. I thought you were suggesting that we go to Greenfield.
No. I said we had a successful one in Caledonia. Did I say Caledonia?
Mm-hmm.
And an evening session.
Right. So
which more people came out. That was my reference to that.
So we've covered that point. Deputy Mayor has the floor on an amendment to her amendment at this point. You'll have the ability to question the amendment to the amendment very shortly.
This is an amendment to the amendment that states, and that a public hearing be held on January the 9th, 2018, in the council chambers at the municipal building 249 White Point Road in Liverpool at 6:45 p.m., followed by a special council meeting at 7 p.m.
Seconder for that amendment, Councillor Johnson. Okay, so now we'll have discussion on the amendment to the amendment, which includes, for all intents and purposes, a special council meeting that evening. Any discussion on that? Councillor Kelly.
I thought you were amending that we have the meeting in Greenfield so that more people can attend. Like, we set the precedent already that we've had the rezoning of Caledonia in Caledonia at the hub in Caledonia.
That was a preamble to the amendment. This is a Liverpool area issue. Now this, to clarify, this is pertaining to a property in the Liverpool area, so we certainly wouldn't have a meeting in Greenfield area.
We're not
the
on,
next
okay,
one is
I do apologize. I do apologize, forgive me.
Accept the gentleman. At least get clarification. So, Councillor Johnson.
I certainly support that because I think this speaks to a bigger issue as to the request that we've heard from the gallery, we've heard test drive every once in a while, doing a little something different with our council times. And this is a huge opportunity to see how many people turn out, and something, maybe something we do on a regular basis, annual basis, or semi-annual basis. We do a couple of meetings a year in the evening to give the people that, you know, work during the day an opportunity to come here and participate. So I support that very much. So.
Any other councilor? Councilor Fisk.
I go along with Councilor Johnson. It's an opportunity to test the waters and see how it works out. And I'm in the understanding that people aren't showing up at these public hearings in great numbers, so this gives us a great opportunity to see what happens.
Any other councilor have a comment?
Well, I have a comment on the actual item itself.
And we'll work back to that.
Oh, okay.
It'll come.
Yeah.
This isn't over yet, Councilor Kelly.
Thank you.
So, we have an amendment to the amendment, and the intent of that is to add the special council meeting to the evening of that day, January the 9th. Are we ready for the question on the amendment to the amendment?
Question.
All those in favor of the amendment to the amendment? Okay, now we're back to the amendment, which is to have an evening special council meeting as well as public hearing in the evening. Any discussion on that amendment? As amended. Councilor Johnson.
I'd just like one point of clarification, that when we say a special council meeting, that doesn't mean we have one in the morning and then another one in the evening.
Yes, it does, Councilor
yes,
Johnson.
Does.
We have a regular council meeting on the 9th of January in the morning, and we will now, according to this amendment, have a special council meeting in the evening to deal with this one. That is the amendment. So we are now dealing with the amended amendment. Who would like to speak on this one? Anyone? Councilor Fisk?
Are we saying two council meetings that same day?
We are.
What for?
Because we have a regular council meeting, which will be scheduled on the 9th. We have an amendment to the motion for the public hearing, which will add a special meeting of council that evening to deal specifically with this public hearing issue.
After the planning hearing, we have to have the motion to put the recommendation on the table and then have the vote for the results of the planning hearing. So it will just be a special council meeting to deal with that motion.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, okay, okay.
So any other councilors have a comment or question on the amended amendment to this motion? Councilor Fancy?
The only question I have, I think it's terrific. I think we're trying to accommodate the community. So this is not just for this one, but for things to come. That if anybody has an opportunity, you know, they're working, they can't get there. So the only other thing would be, again, what we need for, we need four or five, to, in the case, something like that's easy to, one other thing. Pardon me?
A quorum.
Yeah, to get a quorum. What do we need for a quorum?
Five.
Five.
Councilor Frelick?
So I'm not understanding why everybody's so excited about this when what some councilors were talking about, we're starting the new year having some evening council meetings. So why would you encourage to have the whole council meeting on that same evening?
We have not had that discussion in council at this point in time. We do not know how large an agenda we will have for that regular council meeting on January the 9th. It could be a long council meeting at this point. It's not put together. So I think that's a discussion for another day outside of this motion.
I think that is how you determine whether we move forward with having some council meetings in the evening as the public wants, or you don't. If you find you have a long agenda, people aren't going to come out if they're sitting here at 11 o'clock at night. But it gives them the opportunity to experience it and to make, you know, understand fully why we can or cannot.
Well, I can only advise you that the motion before us is for the special hearing, public hearing, and for a special council meeting that evening to deal with that item. So outside of that, that's not on this agenda for this motion, for those amendments. So we're going to deal with this one step at a time because I don't want to lose you in this process. So at this point, we have an amendment to the amendment. And the amended amendment is on the table right now. So are there any other questions or comments on that issue? Councilor Fancy.
The only other thing with Councilor Fancy said is if we were looking at discussing that, then we would have to defeat this because that wouldn't be what we would want to be doing. We'd want to be doing the whole council meeting, right?
It has nothing to do with this motion.
No, it is.
I think it does. Because if you say, well, we want to do it this way, then all of a sudden you come back and say, we don't want to do it this way. Well, you know, it's kind of a two-edged sword if we're going to do it that way.
You certainly have your ability as council to make your decision. Mm-hmm. You can pass, amend, or defeat any motion that comes before council. I can give you that information as chair. That's the policy we follow. We work under certain procedures and guidelines, and we are doing so at the present time regarding this recommendation from the Planning Advisory Committee. So if there's no more discussion or questions on the amendment, I'm going to ask for a vote on the amended amendment. Yes, Councilor.
Do we see the time?
Pardon?
Do we see the time? Seven? Did you say seven?
We have a 6:45. We have a public hearing at 6:45 under this amendment, and we have a special council meeting at 7 p.m. according to this at the present time. So I'm going to ask, are you ready for the question on the amended amendment?
Question.
All those in favor of the amended amendment? It is unanimous. So now we'll back up to the motion as amended. Is there any discussion on that? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the amended motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We can put this one to rest.
Thank you.
So we will now proceed to 13.2, Telecommunications Tower in Greenfield. Councilor Fisk, would you like to take the lead on this one?
I recommend that the council leaves the municipality the abilities of interest in entering into a development agreement to allow for an erection of a new telecommunication tower on the property identified as PID number 701156 62 and located on Highway 210 in Greenfield, and that a public hearing be scheduled for January 9, 2018 in the Councilor's Chambers of the Municipal Administration Building located at 249 White Point Road, Liverpool, Nova Scotia at 8:45 a.m.
Second for that motion. Councilor Fancy. Mike, would you like to give us an update?
Yep, I guess this is a background on this one. We've received application from Eastlink for the erection of a new telecommunications tower on the property located at 5057 Highway 210 in Greenfield. And just for reference, that would be the old lumber building supplies property in the center of Greenfield. You'll recall back in September, Council looked at a similar request from Eastlink, just essentially around the corner on Medway River Road, on a portion of the Freeman Mill property. That application did not go through at that location, and there have since that time come back with a new proposed location at the rear of the former lumberyard property. The lands are located within the mixed-use rural residential R5 zone, which does not allow the erection of new telecommunication towers as of right within that zone. However, policy under the Municipal Planning Strategy allows Council to consider such uses through a development agreement process. So, Eastlink is in the process of acquiring the property from the current owners to facilitate this development. So, and I guess what they're looking at is a 30-meter freestanding telecommunication tower.
Any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Kelly?
I'd like to make an amendment to the recommendation to have post the hearing in Greenfield.
At what time? In the morning?
No, at 7 p.m. on January the 8th.
January the 8th. Okay. seconded to that amendment? Mayor McLeod. Any discussion on that amendment? Councilor Fancy.
Just as a question, we're doing a lot of things a little different here, so I'm just trying to figure it out. The other one's on January 9th. Why couldn't we have them both on the same night?
It's very difficult to be in Greenfield and Liverpool at the same time.
I know, but there, isn't that held at the council chambers? No, I think Greenfield is what's going on.
We'll need a location stated in the motion. It can't say 249 Whitepoint Road.
If I may back up the amendment, to my understanding, was to have this public hearing in Greenfield, correct, Councilor Kelly?
That's right.
So this is the day prior. This is the 8th, on the amendment.
But what by I'm saying, this is how I'm going to vote on that too, because if you're saying, hey, if we could have them both that same night here, one at 6:45, one at 7:15, then you'd have your vote, then you could be able to vote after on the special council meeting, you can do both.
You could, Councilor Fancy, but that's not the amendment.
I know, but I just like to put that out there, so then as we vote on this, do we want to go a different direction rather than say?
Councilor Fisk.
I think it's very, I agree with Councilor Kelly. I think it's very important to have the amendment the way it sounds, to have it being held in Greenfield, because the residents of Greenfield area, this issue has been going on for a long time, and they so wish to hear from Eastlink, especially the one to hear from, and that's a good move. There's nothing wrong with us creating the 8th of January and the 9th. I mean, this is something special. We need to work on it, and they're looking forward to hearing from the Eastlink for sure. I know that. Thank you.
Any other councilor have a question or comment on this amendment? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly, for making that amendment, and I know you have to have a location.
Oh, yeah.
And the special council meeting the following night can deal with both of these applications, and you don't have to have another special council meeting directly after this, because it's just a different a day.
It can be dealt with on the regular council in the morning
on the
night.
On the night as well, yeah. But do we need an actual location now, or can we just say in the community of Greenfield with location to
We'll need to advertise the location.
Yeah.
14 days, so we're going to need to know, is tomorrow okay?
Well, I guess to get in the paper, and actually following council, if that's the decision of council to move ahead with this,
yeah.
I'll endeavor to get a venue for that on the 8th of January.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Ready for the question on the amendment?
Question.
All those in favor of the amendment? Now we have discussion on the amended motion. Any discussion on the amended motion at this point? Are you ready for the question on the amended motion?
Question.
All those in favor of the amended motion? Thank you very much.
Seven.
Greenfield. Location to be determined very, very shortly. Thank you, Mike. The next item on the agenda is under 14.0 reports. Under 14.1, we have a report, bylaw enforcement officer's report, November 2017. Are there any questions or comments on the bylaw enforcement officer's report? Councilor Johnson?
I would just like to make a statement of the fact that I'm very appreciative of updates, regular updates from the bylaw enforcement officer, because the things that's happening, particularly in my district, I'm ahead of the curve a little bit on this before anything gets into the media or anything else that might hit the fan or whatever. So I appreciate that from my Kelly man for sure.
Any other councilor? Okay, we'll move on to 14.2, Building Officials Report, November 2017. Any questions or comments or councilors on the building monthly permit report? Hearing none, we'll move on to 15.0 Other. We have under 15.1, committee of the whole meeting, December 19th, 2017, is canceled, and next regular council meeting will be January 9th, 2018. Notification. We have under 15.2 a litter update by Councillor Fancy. Councillor Fancy, if you'd like to say a few words on this issue.
Yes, we've had a couple meetings. We've got a group together called the Litter Abatement Group, and resident of Milton, Misty Noss, has, I don't know the exact position in the school board, but she has a new office. She said, look, I'm really getting tired of everything that's going on around about. And she said, I'd like to see us to see where we could go and how we could be able to work with the litter, so, or the litter cleanup. And we had our initial meeting on November 3rd, and it was Constable Rob James, Misty Noss, Scott LeBlanc, Kellyanne Hurley, and myself were there to have an initial meeting to see where we were going to. And one of the things we wanted to do was to start going around each one's area and be able to set up a like a road stop to be able to, and give out some bags and some blue baggings and some coupons and pins to be able to see if we could be able to make people aware and to be able to talk to people about litter. On December 1st, we had our second meeting, and we invited Deputy Mayor Susan Cloud there to be able to see if we were going to go into her area, and that was down by the old Mersey Mill site in Fort Mersey, to be able to set up a road stop to talk to people. It was accepted very well. People were very appreciative of it. We also had along with us at that particular time, we had someone from the school, Carter Scott, who's into the O2 program, who's I think studying to be into the law enforcement area. And I'm trying to think of like the other person from the law enforcement who's there.
Dave Cowell.
I got him up here. He was there too. It was, like I said, accepted very well. I should say also too, on our second meeting, we asked representatives from McDonald's and Tim Hortons to be there to be able to, that seems to be the biggest people that throw a lot of the litter comes from those two areas, to see what they could do and how they could be responsive. One thing they mentioned that it's always been in place, but no one seems to be using it much, is, and I can't state for sure what Tim Horton's policy is, but I'm with McDonald's, is if you bring your own cup, you can get a large coffee for the price of a small coffee. So that should be incentive to be able to bring your own cup. So they want to try to get some signage out there, and I talked to Tim, and they said that they have that policy in place too. So we want to try to get this put out there, so we try to get rid of more of the cups. People can get more coffee for the same price. Well, that seems like a good deal. And if we can be able to let it be known. With both these places, they have to send back to find out if they can get money for funding to be able to advertise this more. I'd like to see us advertise it more to be able to do things. We was over by Tim's the other day looking into their bins. They have the blue bin that's just half full of household garbage. I mean, this is crazy. People coming around throwing up the household garbage they go through. So also, too, we want to look at just getting some no smoking signs to be able to let people know where they're all forever cleaning up cigarette butts around the building. They're not following the 12-foot parameters. We're also looking at some maybe some littering signs that hopefully we can get some funding for, and just making people more aware. The other thing we did was over underneath the overpass on the west side of street in Milton, we did clean up underneath there. It was just disgusting. And there's a sign put up there of, I think it's the no dumping sign. And so we're working on these things, trying to find some different avenues of how we could be able to get people informed and be able to change the attitude of people.
Any questions of Councilor Fancy on that? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Not a question, but just a comment, and I just want to pass on the thanks to Councillor Fellick, because he did hold one of those, hand out the little bags on exit 19 at one point, right? worked very well, and that kind of started us thinking, you know, those type of actions really, really are effective, and people appreciate that. So we had great turnout.
Thank you. Any other councillor? Councillor Fairley?
I will say on that note that when we had the roadblock, the conversation was with the RCMP that they would do that regularly. And that was 2 years ago. And this is the first one they've had since. So they are not doing it regularly. And you know, when we've asked the question about littering, they keep coming back and saying it's education.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But handing out fines is much more important than sending a message. And you know, to congratulate them on handing out two offenses in 10 years is not really a great thing. That when they have 20 offenses per year, that's when I would congratulate them, because the one that they talked about in Greenfield that was reported, and I reported it, took 2 weeks to get them out there, and they didn't do anything other than hand it over to our bylaw enforcement. So, and it happened to be somebody who it happened in error, which that does happen, and they were really upset and came and cleaned it up themselves and were very apologetic, which is, you know, that can happen. But for me, until the RCMP start enforcing it, you're always going to be cleaning up litter, ever and ever. So as long as you continue to clean it up and no one's enforcing it, we're never going to win. So it's a huge challenge. But there are communities that have conquered it, and we should be talking to those communities that have figured it out and can understand a little bit better what we're doing wrong in the community. So.
And I expect all of council is aware that it's very difficult for the RCMP to have an enforceable charge for littering that succeeds and is successful through the courts. It's a difficult one.
I understand that, but you can also report somebody and it can go on their record that, so if they have another offense, then they can go back and look. So there's nothing wrong with reporting it. It doesn't have to be an offense every time, but at least they're addressing it. Because it's very low on their priority list. But if, again, my philosophy of 100 people were phoning in and saying there was litter, it would go up in their priority list. And it hasn't in a very, very long time.
I have Councillor Fancy next.
Yeah, a couple other things I should have added there too is that Kurt Simons, the Region 6 Solid Waste Management Educator, was at our last meeting, and he is just a go-getter. He wants to do things. He just needs to have his hands untied to which different direction he can go. And he supplied a lot of the things that we gave out. I also like to mention too that there's so many times that people are unaware that things like if you find a something from McDonald's or Tim's, this video surveillance, right? I've already had one where I've had it, and it's time stamped. They go back and they can see who actually purchased what at what time. So when you find something out there, bring it in. It isn't just say, well, okay, it's a time stamped purchase. That's on video. So don't throw those things away. Bring them in. Let's try to work with them.
Thank you, Councillor Fancy. I have Councillor Johnson next.
I think Councillor Fancy touched on what I was going to say, is that we have an education program through the intermunicipal council. I think it's time we have a look at that, and instead of just going into the schools once a year. Misty Noss is part of this, and she's now part of the school board.
Yeah.
And she was a law enforcement officer.
Yeah.
What a great chance to get into the schools a little bit more, because I don't know about you guys, but I started wearing my seatbelt when my kids used to get after me. And if we start with the kids with not littering, that's a great place to start. And we could breathe a little life in that education program. And yeah, it's great to have the stuff, but if we only do this dabble once a year, it's only a fad for that particular hour, and then it goes away. So if we're going to really give it any effort, and that's where we need to go. Put our shoulder behind it.
And in addition to that, the Dubert Nova Scotia does have specific awards every year for schools and for youth. And at one point, Greenfield won an award for an actual designed graphics, and then they had stickers made that put on the takeaway containers, and that was an education coming from the schools, and hopefully that might pass on to some of the offenders. But on the, on another note, talking about how to report every car or truck that stopped on Friday at our stopping point, we brought up the fact that, you know, we need your help in this from the public. If you happen to notice anything, you know you can report it, whether it be anonymously or not, but at least, you know, if you see something, you can report it, get an ID, whatever, please do that. And a lot of the cars that I stopped said, oh, really, is that possible? And I said, yeah, and that was reinforced by Constable Rob James and Dave Cowan, that yes, we need your support in this too, so everybody has to pitch in and help.
Any other councilor? Okay, we'll move on now to 16.0 in camera items. A motion to go in camera would be appropriate. Councilor Bailey, seconded by Councilor Fisk. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? We are now in camera and will be